السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وما تنفقوا من خير فلأنفسكم وما تنفقون إلا ابتغاء وجه الله وما تنفقوا من خير يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد, we are on ayah number 272 now, and I'm going to give you a rough translation first, and we'll dig a little bit deeper into some of the meanings. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. You're not responsible for guiding them. Their guidance is not on you. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. However, it is in fact Allah, He guides whoever He wills. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. And whatever you might spend, it is in fact only for yourselves. Then it's just for yourselves. In other words, whatever charity you give, you serve yourself, not anybody else. وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And you will absolutely not be spending anything, or you can translate this as, you shall not be spending anything, you better not be spending anything, except to pursue the face of Allah, meaning to be able to face Allah on Judgment Day, and be able to not be humiliated on Judgment Day. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّى إِلَيْكُمْ. And whatever of any good you might spend will be fully returned to you. It'll be given fully back to you. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. While you are not going to be shortchanged, you are not going to be wronged in any way. You'll be refunded completely. That's the rough translation of the ayah. Now what is this ayah talking about? There's a few things here. All of these ayat, starting from where we began, 261, now we're on 272. 11 ayat have already come, long ones, encouraging believers to spend and spend rightly in the path of Allah. Even after listening to all of this and somebody still doesn't want to spend, you know, there are people, my teacher used to call them sun sun ke sunni ho gaye. They listen and they listen, but they don't do. Right? That's why they call them sunni. Sunni in Urdu means the guy who listens a lot, you know. They become numb, just listening. And so the Prophet is giving these ayat, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's encouraging, and there are some in the audience who just don't budge. They've heard all this motivation to give, but they won't give. And that can become frustrating. Like, why won't they? They've heard such a powerful word from Allah, why aren't they responding to that? And that by extension can also be a scenario for one of you. You might think you give a really amazing bit of advice to your cousin, and you quoted the most powerful hadith, and the most beautiful reminder, or shared the most epic video on WhatsApp with them, and they're still going to the party. And they still dress the way they do. And they still didn't change. And you're like, these people, the most amazing advice I could ever give. I mean, so epic. And they still didn't change. What's wrong with them? And Allah even tells His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, changing people is not His responsibility. You're not responsible for guiding them. They have to make that, your responsibility is, وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. Your only responsibility is to communicate a message to them. Whether or not they want to take that decision and follow Allah's guidance is their decision. That you're, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ, another place in the Qur'an. You're not in control over them. You can't control anybody. I can't even control my kids, my spouse. I can't control my parents, my siblings. I can't control. At the end of the day, they're going to have their own guidance. They're going to have make their own decisions. فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ. That's another, furthering this issue. You are not responsible for guiding them. There's another very powerful lesson here. And that lesson is, sometimes we don't want to give to people who are not following guidance. Right? So there's members of your family that are worthy of sadaqah, but they are up to haram. Or they do some things that are un-Islamic. Or maybe they're not that poor, but they still need. So it could be a situation where in your mind you say, these people are not following guidance properly, therefore I should not give them. That could happen. It could be in your head. Well, these people, I think they're going to waste the money. I think they're going to spend it on haram things, so I don't want to give them. I don't want to support them. What about that situation? This statement, you are not responsible for guiding them. Look at it in light of this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. عن أبي هريرة قال رسول الله قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The messenger of Allah said, narrated Abu Huraira, قال رجل لا أتصدقن الليل بصدقة فخرج بصدقته فوضعها في يد زانية. A man came and said, tonight I'm going to give sadaqah. And he went at night to find somebody to give charity to, and he found a prostitute and gave her charity. He gave charity to a prostitute. فَأَصْبَحَ النَّاسُ يَتَحَدَّثُونَ. The next morning people are talking. تَصْدُقُوا عَلَى زَانِيَا. You gave money to a prostitute? Why did you give her money? Why did you give her charity? فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَى زَانِيَا. The person responded, Ya Allah, praise only belongs to you that I found a prostitute to give charity to. He's happy that he gave to a prostitute. Then, لَأَتَصَدَّقَنَّ اللَّيْلَ بِصَدَقَةٍ. He says, I'm going to give another night. I'm going to go out and give sadaqah again. فَخَرَجَ بِصَدَقَتِهِ فَوَضَعَهَا فِي يَدِي غَنِيٍ. He goes out to give sadaqah. He founds a man that's not poor. He's doing okay. Wealthy guy. He gave him charity. فَأَصْبَحُوا يَتَحَدَّثُونَ. The next morning people are saying, تَصْدُقُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى غَنِيٍ. You going to give charity to a rich guy? What's wrong with you? What are you doing? Allahumma laka alhamd ala ghani. He says, oh Allah, thank you for helping me find a wealthy person to give charity to. This is confusing. What's this guy doing? And then he says, لَا أَتَصَدَّقَنَّ اللَّيْلَ بِصَدَقَةٍ. I'm going to give some sadaqah again tonight. He's going to go out again. فَخَرَجَ بِصَدَقَتِهِ فَوَضَعَهَا فِي يَدِي سَارِقٍ. He put it in the hand of a thief. And so people are talking again. أَصْبَحُوا يَتَحَدَّثُونَ. تَصْدُقُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى سَارِقٍ. You went last night and gave money to a thief? What's wrong with you? He's probably going to use the money to buy a better lockpick. Or to get another gun for his robbery. What are you doing? You know? فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ الْحَمْدَ عَلَى زَانِيَ وَعَلَى غَنِي وَعَلَى سَارِقٍ. He said, oh Allah, I thank you for helping me find the prostitute, for helping me find the rich guy, and helping me find the thief. That's what the guy says. فَأُتِيَ فَقِيلَ لَهُ. Then it was said to him, أَمَّا صَدَقَتُكَ فَقَدْ قُبِلَتْ. Allah basically says to him that your charity has been accepted. Your sadaqah has been accepted. Why? وَأَمَّا الزَّانِيَ فَلَعَلَّهَا أَن تَسْتَعِفَّ بِهَا عَن زِنَاهَا. It may be that the prostitute, she stops doing prostitution because of it. Because of your act of goodness. You don't know what might happen. We only know what happened in the past, we never know what will happen in the future. That is not up, and you say, well, she's been a prostitute for 10 years. How do you think she's going to change with one sadaqah? That's not up to you. La'allaha, if she might change. This is the same la'alla that is used in Quran for Fir'aun. La'allahu yatadhakkar aw yakhsha. Maybe he will take benefit from reminder. Maybe he'll become a God-fearing person. Fir'aun. That's what Allah says about him. So we cannot say somebody is a lost cause. We cannot say because of their previous track record, there's no good for them in their future. وَعَلَى سَارِقٍ فَأُتِيَ So then he says, وَلَعَلَّ الْغَنِي يَعْتَبِرُ فَيُنْفِقُ مِمَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهِ. And it may be that when you gave the wealthy person, he realized that he's been holding on to his wealth, and he becomes charitable. He became so ashamed that somebody gave him charity, that woke up his conscience and he started giving charity. And then the third, he says, وَلَعَلَّ السَّارِقَ أَن يَسْتَعِفَّ بِهَا عَن سَرِقَتِهِ. And it may be that the thief, because of it, feels ashamed, he stops stealing. He becomes a dignified person. So this is the second implication of, you're not responsible for guiding them, you don't put the condition, until you become a better Muslim, then I will give you sadaqah. Until I see you as qualified, I'll give you sadaqah. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَى. This subject will be evolved as these ayat go. We'll see more and more dimensions of this topic. Who should we give to? How should we judge that somebody's worthy of being given? Then the other thing I'd add here is that there are several narrations in which Sahaba stopped giving to non-Muslim family. Okay, so sadaqah should only be given to Muslims, should not be given to kuffar. And I don't want to give to my non-Muslim mother or grandfather or whatever. There's even a narration about Asma bint Abi Bakr, the daughter of Abu Bakr, who wanted to give to her grandfather, who's non-Muslim. And she stopped giving because he's not a believer. And then some say that this ayah came. You're not responsible for guiding them. Allah didn't say, al-fuqara il-mu'mineen. He'll say, al-fuqara. That's it. He didn't say, believing poor people. He just said what? Poor people. He said, la yahuddu ala ta'am al-miskeen. He doesn't encourage giving to the needy. He didn't say, la yahuddu ala ta'am al-miskeen al-muslim. the Muslim needy person. He didn't add that qualification. A needy person is a needy person. You know? You find a hadith in the Prophet's tradition, alayhi salatu wasalam, of somebody giving charity to a dog. If a dog is worthy of charity, you don't think a disbeliever is? A Christian is? A Jew is? An atheist is? A Hindu is? A Buddhist is? You know? We don't discriminate when it comes to giving good. You know, يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ. We give food. The only thing is we give it even though we want food ourselves. عَلَى حُبِّهِ يَتِيمًا وَمِسْكِينًا وَأَسِيرًا. To the orphan, the poor, and even the prisoner of war. And by the way, the prisoner of war was definitely an enemy of Islam. He's the one who was captured fighting the Muslims, and you're giving him food. That's what Quran is saying. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are only feeding you to be able to face Allah one day. We seek Allah's face. What does that mean? We're not looking to convert you by giving you. That's the last point I want to say here. I'm not giving you charity so you convert to Islam. You know, there are a lot of Christian missions in different parts of the Muslim world. They go to the most poor villages and they first set up charity homes and give, and then bring to Christianity. Right? And it's not directly said must become Christian, but when people receive so much, they're kind of annasu abidul ihsan. People are buried under goodness, and then they come to Christianity. You know? This is not the way of the Muslims. As a matter of fact, from the very beginning we were told, you're not responsible for guiding them, and you will not use nafaqa, you know, charity, to convert people. The only thing you can use nafaqa for, by the way, that's close to this, is what will be described in Surah At-Tawbah, وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. To bring people's hearts closer. One of the legitimate ways that you can use sadaqah or zakat even, is to give to a group of people so that their animosity towards the Muslims gets lessened. Their hearts become softened. You let them know that we wish to cooperate with you, live with you cordially as neighbors, and not have animosity in your heart against Islam. That's legitimate. But we're not giving so that one day you convert. And until you convert, I'm not going to give. That's not allowed. So that's captured inside. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. Now, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. In that light, now you'll see, whatever you might spend of anything good that you've done, any good charity that you've given of any kind whatsoever, I keep saying any, this is called in Arabic, تَنَوَّر, to make variety. Imagine whether you donated time, money, effort, an animal, a car, you know, you lend somebody something and let them keep it, whatever it may be that you gave, of any kind of good, remember one thing. The only return of that good is for your own self. فَلِأَنفُسِكُمْ. The jawab al-shart is abrupt. In other words, whatever you might have given, the only beneficiary is just yourself. You didn't give to make somebody, to better somebody else. The greatest recipient of charity is the self. Don't forget that. And that ties into the first lesson in addition. What was the lesson? You're not there to convert people by charity. You're not responsible to guide them. Remember, when you give, you're not giving for them, you're giving for you. It's actually a greedy act. You're depositing in your akhirah account. وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And you are absolutely not going to be spending anything. You better not be spending anything except to pursue Allah's face, to be able to face Allah on Judgment Day. This wajhullah, wajhullah, wajhullah keeps coming up. The face of Allah, the face of Allah, the face of Allah. Why is that there? Because there are people that Allah describes on the Day of Judgment. لَا يَنْظُرُوا إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will not be looking at them. Allah will not be looking at them. And you cannot, when Allah turns away from them, they cannot see, look towards Allah. And then there are other places. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. There are faces that are lit with light because they are staring at Allah. They're looking at Allah. Allah blesses them. He gives them the gift to be able to see Him on Judgment Day. Allah is telling us that when, and by the way, remember that hadith I told you? That a poor person came, the Prophet, Allah told him that I was poor, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. And he said, how can I feed you? You know, you're the Rabbul Alameen. And he said, didn't I send my slave who was hungry and you didn't feed him? Well, if you give nafaqa and if you give infaq, if you give charity properly, then you are doing good not just to that, you have done good with Allah and you get to meet Him. And you get to see His face. This is why wajhullah is being mentioned over and over again. Like the biggest motivation to you and me to give is one day through this, I'm going to be meeting Allah. I'm securing my meeting with Allah. You know? So now, Al-Hasan al-Basri said something so beautiful about it. Nafaq, inspired by this ayah, he said, نَفَقَةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ لِنَفْسِهِ. The charity given by a believer is only for himself. وَلَا يُنْفِقُ الْمُؤْمِنُ إِذَا أَنْفَقَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. And a believer does not spend whenever he does, except for one goal, for himself to be able to see Allah, to pursue the face of Allah. وَقَالَ عَطَاءُ الْخُرَسَانِ. And Ata al-Khurasani took Abu Hasan al-Basri's statement and added, يَعْنِي إِذَا أَعْطَيْتَ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ فَعَلَيْكَ فَلَا عَلَيْكَ مَا كَانَ عَمَلُهُ. And get this in your heads. He says, if you have given for the sake of Allah, then it's none of your business what he does with that charity. If you have given for the sake of Allah, there's no follow-up on your side. Hey, so did you get the necessities or did you go watch a movie instead? That's not your business. You give for Allah, it's been deposited, that's your part is done. Your part is done. There's no more. Now the question arises, if this is the case, if we are supposed to just give for Allah and not worry about it, then there's a real possibility that some people who are professional beggars will take advantage of us. You know, there are people who show up at, you know, when you go to many parts of the Muslim world, there are people who are professional beggars. There were even cases in the 90s I knew of, here in America, a family would come to a masjid and say, we're homeless, we lost our job, we don't have, you know, we're living out of our car, help us however you can, and we just need to, you know, they're going to take our home away, we've paid off the home, but we can't pay the property tax, we only owe 5,000, and the masjid will give them 5,000, then they'll drive from New York to New Jersey, do the same drama again, then go to Maryland, do the same drama, same family. That's how they made their money. They collected 5 grand from every big masjid. Until it got known, like, this is the property tax family, you know. You know, that's how they're making it. So you could be taken advantage of. That can happen too. How are we going to make sure that we don't get taken advantage of? Those ayat are coming too. That other side of it is coming also. But there's no absolute security. There may be a case where you give and you gave to the person who will take advantage of it, but you know that the reason for which you gave has been secured with Allah. Your concern ended there. This is actually one of the great gifts of Iman in the Qur'an on multiple issues. Charity is one of them. There are other issues too, in which what happens, the teaching of Allah is, you don't worry about it. Stop worrying about it. You did it for Allah, so don't worry about what people do. You let that part go. Like for example, when people are spreading a rumor about you. When people talk about you behind your back, you become very interested. Who said it to you? Wait, can you send me a screen capture of the text message? Who else is on that WhatsApp group? When did they say it? Why did they say it? And then you want to track down like a hit list every one of them who said what. But the network keeps getting bigger. You know? And you're like, I can't keep track. So what does Allah do? When that happens? لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. Listen, whoever spread a rumor, every single one of them, I will give them exactly the percentage of their crime. Some people took part in the rumor, some people said a little bit, some people made up entire stories, some people just said, interesting. That's all they said. But whoever took part in it, some people had a big sin in it, some people had a little sin in it, Allah will track down every last one of them and give them what they deserve. That is not your headache, let it go. Forget about it. Forget about following up who said what. Allah took that off your plate. Same thing here. Allah has taken it off your plate, what happens with the money after you give it? This is for individuals. This is for what? Individuals. This is not this qualification of benefit of the doubt, no questions asked. This is not for public service. When you give money to Baytul Mal, when you give money to a masjid, when you give money to a charity institution, you have absolutely the right to ask, where did the money go? When you give to an individual, you don't ask. When you give to your brother, your cousin, you don't ask. This is why even Umar can be asked, where did you get that shawl? Why are you dressed like that? Did you get that from Baytul Mal? Because he was in charge of Baytul Mal. He was in charge of the treasury. Because it's public funds, they can be questioned, there have to be transparency. But when you help somebody privately, forget about transparency. You let it go. Completely. Now, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يُوَفَّى إِلَيْكُمْ, completing this ayah, and whatever you may have given of any good whatsoever will be given back to you in full. يُوَفَّى إِلَيْكُمْ. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. You are not going to be wronged. You don't have to worry about whether they do right or wrong. You are taken care of. That's all you need to worry about. يُوَفَّى إِلَيْكُمْ. It will be fully refunded to you. مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. This is actually a personal habit of mine. I don't have many checks. But if I do ever write a check in sadaqah, I actually remind myself I write it on top. مَا نَقَصَ مَعْلُمْ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ. The words of the Prophet ﷺ. Money doesn't go down when you give sadaqah. Money doesn't decrease when you give sadaqah. It's being returned to you in full. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And you are not going to be wronged. Who should the money be for? لِلْفُقَرَى. For the bankrupt. For the poor. For those who can't afford for themselves. Faqir in Arabic comes from the Arabic word faqr. Faqr literally means a burden so heavy on the back that it breaks the back. People that are buried under difficulty are called faqir. That's what the word faqir comes from. In Urdu, people use faqir for beggar. You know, that's sa'il in Arabic. That's not faqir. Faqir is someone buried under difficulty, so much so that they have been made almost, you can say, incapable. You know, they've been disabled by their difficulty. That's a faqir, okay? And this is the language that's used by Musa alayhi salam. إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. I am, my back is broken. Ya Allah, I got nothing left. Whatever good you send me, I could use it. Just give me whatever you can. Whatever you want. You know, I won't be picky. اللام متعلقة بقوله وما تنفقوا من خير. The lam here, للفقراء. The ayah begins, for the bankrupt, for the poor, for the fuqara. The for here, it goes back to the previous ayah, meaning, whatever good you spend, that will always come back to you, is primarily meant for the fuqara. That's the first recipients. And then let's deal further with the fuqara. Who were they in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? قال السدي ومجاهد وغيرهما المراد بهؤلاء الفقراء فقراء المهاجرين من قريش وغيرهم. The meaning, the first recipients, the first implication of fuqara, the bankrupt, the poor, is actually the bankrupt people that had come and migrated to Medina from Mecca. People who left their homes, muhajirun we call them, right? Because of their Islam, they became homeless and came to Medina. ثم تتناول الآية كل من دخل تحت صفة الفقراء غابر الدهر. By extension, the ayah applies to everybody who will be in difficulty. But the first audience should be understood first. وإنما خص فقراء المهاجرين بالذكر. And they were specifically highlighted because there was nobody else like that in the city except them. لأنه لم يكن هناك سواهم وهم أهل الصفة وكانوا نحو من 400 رجل. They were almost 400 people that were homeless and that were in need in an already poor city of Medina. Now here's a story I want to share with you. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَقْدَمُونَ فُقَرَاءَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَمَا لَهُمْ أَهَلْ وَلَا مَالْ فَبُنِيَتْ لَهُمْ صُفَّةً. These people came to the Prophet ﷺ, no money with them, no family with them, no support with them. So a little shed was made for them, and that's why they are called people of the shed. أَهْلُ الصُّفَّةِ. That's the term came because they were just being held up in a shed. And so he describes, Abu Dharr Ghifari, who was one of them, describes, كنت من أهل الصفة وكنا إذا أمسينا حضرنا باب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We used to be among the أهل الصفة, the people in Sufa. We used to come every night to the door of the Prophet because we didn't have anything to eat. فيأمر كل رجل فينصرف برجل ويبقى من بقي من أهل الصفة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would take the people of Medina and you go with him, you go with him, you go with him. And one would take one, one would take one, one would take one. And only 10 people were left. You know, فَمَنْ بَقِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الصُّفَّةِ عَشَرَ أَوْ أَقَلْ or less than 10. فَيُؤْتَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم بِعَشَائِهِ وَنَتَعَشَى مَعَهُ. So the Prophet ﷺ used to bring his, يُؤْتَ النَّبِي, the Prophet would bring his own dinner, and he doesn't have a lot of dinner. And how many people are with him? 10 people. And he would sit with them and we would eat with him. Until we would be done, then the Prophet ﷺ would say, نَامُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, go to sleep in the masjid. This is the place you'll stay. This is your home. Nobody else could support them. There were people, everybody took one. And this is the place you're going to stay. You know? I was actually really shaken. You know, to understand how housing used to work back then, it's very difficult for us to understand. We have, at the very least, we have apartments, you know, condos, we have homes. So thinking about what housing used to look like back then is very difficult. I got some taste of it when I was in Mexico. I was in this small village called Chiapas. It's an hour flight out of Mexico City, and then you drive for 2 hours on non-road. The car is like this the whole time. To get there. And there's a village of people there, about 300 people that became Muslim. Okay? They don't even speak Spanish. They speak the local language. And so they had to have, when I was giving them a dars of Quran, there was a person translating from English to Spanish, and then another person, the only guy in the village who speaks Spanish to their language. And that's how we were communicating with them. So I stayed a day with them. And when I stayed with them, they showed me their home. Like they were really happy that I was there. Not a single home was made of a brick. Not one home. Every single home was made of pieces of wood, pieces of aluminum, pieces of tin, and sometimes cardboard. There was not a single home in which when you sit inside, you can't see outside through the walls. Like the holes. Like you know how you have a backyard fence? Your fence in your backyard is more advanced than any wall I saw in those homes. And this brother who invited me to his home, I walk inside, he made this door out of cardboard or whatever, we open the door, and inside of course it's still dirt, there's no floor, it's just dirt, and there's a propane tank that he uses to cook or whatever, and then he shows me, this is my room. And what's his room? It's literally like this, he took a bunch of rocks and then he put a mattress on top of it, that's his room. And I was like, I want to show you my children's room. I was like, okay. And he pulls this curtain, and there's another thing there. It's literally within 8 feet. Both of these, and that's my kid's room. And he pulls the curtain back. This is their housing. If you listen to the descriptions of the housing of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are houses, the hujurat of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he lies down, he can't stretch his feet. Like he has to close in his feet. These are the people who are taking one more person in. The reason I describe this to you is nowadays we have 5-bedroom house. Somebody says, can I stay over? It's going to be a little difficult. You know, my kids, each of them need their own bedroom and it's a little tough time right now. Where are we going to put you up? You have a living room. You have a media room. You have another living room. You have a room that you don't even know what the name of it is. You know, the hallway between your bathroom and your kitchen is more than some people's homes. But it's difficult for you to host somebody? This is where we are. And these were the people that were on the Prophet's life. This is our Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know? So now, so what happened then, when this ayah came, and this ayah says, lil fuqara, this is meant for the poor people. How did they used to get fed? And when Allah says that you should give, and whatever you give, good will be returned back to you. And previously he said, don't give the lesser quality goods. Remember that yesterday? Don't give lesser quality goods. Some of the Ansar say, نَزَلَتْ فِينَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَنصَارِ كُنَّا أَصْحَابَ النَّخْلِ. This ayah was about us. We feel like this ayah was about us because we own palm trees. And when we own palm trees, فَكَانَ الرَّجُلُ يَأْتِي مِن نَخْلَ عَلَى قَدْرِ كَثْرَتِهِ أَوْ قِلَّتِهِ. So we used to break the dates from our palm trees or take the entire bunch off and give it to the people of Suffa. How many? 400 people. Somebody who had more gave more, somebody who had less gave less. وَكَانَ الرَّجُلْ يَأْتِي بِالْقُنْوِ وَالْقُنْوَيْنِ. Somebody would give a small bunch or two small bunches and that's all they would give. فَيَعْلِقُهُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. They would hang it in the masjid. They would hang it in the masjid, people could just eat off of there. وَكَانَ أَهْلُ الصُّفَّةِ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٍ. People of Suffa didn't have any food. فَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَ أَتَى الْقُنْوَى فَيَضْرِبُهُ بِعَصَاهُ فَيَسْقِطُ مِنَ الْبُصْرِ وَالتَّمْرِ فَيَأْكُلُ. And then any of the people of Suffa, it's hanging up in the masjid, they would hit it with a stick, a date would fall, some of them rotten, some of them good, whatever would fall, they would eat. They wouldn't discriminate. Because they were so hungry. وَكَانَ نَاسٌ مِمَّنْ لَا يَرْغَبُ فِي الْخَيْرِ يَأْتِي بِالْقُنْوِ فِيهِ الشَّيْسِ وَالْحَشَفِ. And then there would be people, farmers who say, you know, I want to give too, but they would take the dates that fell, because they were premature and they fell, or the dates that are gone rotten already, they would only hang those up. At least, you know, somebody can use it. Just give it away. And so that's when the ayah came. بِالْقُنْوِ قَدِمْ قَصَرَ فَيَعْلِقُهُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. And these are the things they would put in the masjid. But now Allah says here, whatever good you give will be given back to you. Give good things. Don't give poor things. Don't give low quality things. Now, let's describe those people in the ayah. Who are these fuqara? الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who have been encircled. Those who have been enveloped in the path of Allah. It's a difficult phrase. Those who have been encircled, engrossed, overtaken in the path of Allah. لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. They're not capable of going about in the land. They're not capable of travel and doing business in the land. الضَرْبُ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَجَازٌ لِلْتِجَارَةِ. It's a phrase used for trade. When a trader goes out in the land, leaves the city and goes and does business, his animal is taking beats on the ground. And the more loaded his animal is, the harder the strike on the ground with every step. And that's why it's called a darb fil ard. Striking in the land. You know? When you read the English translation and others are not capable of striking in the land, you're like, what are you striking in the land? It actually means going out and doing business. That's the old phrase for going out and doing business. They have been overrun by the path of Allah, in the path of Allah, in the cause of Allah, and they're not able to do business, basically. What does this mean? وَالْمَعْنَى حُبِسُوا وَمُنِعُوا. It means people that were captured, people that were prevented. It's describing people in Makkah, because they became Muslim, nobody would do business with them. Because they became Muslim, now they lost all their customers. Because they were Muslim, they couldn't leave Makkah, they were getting tortured and beat, they had to escape narrowly. لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. They left all of their business behind and came homeless. That's who, and the only reason they left everything is because they said, لا إله إلا الله. There was no other reason for which they lost their businesses. That's the reason for which they were in this state. And that's why, حَبَسُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ عَنِ التَّصَرُّفِ فِي مَعَايِشِهِمْ خَوْفَ الْعَدُوِ. They were not able to go out because the enemy would kill them. And that's how they ended up in Medina. And that's why Allah says they're not able to go out and about in the land and do business anymore. This is the part that I really love. يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. The ignorant one thinks that they're completely okay. They don't have any needs. That they're not being deprived of anything. This is a really difficult thing to understand. First of all, unless people come and ask you, you will not know that they need. Right? Let me translate the whole ayah first, and I'll go piece by piece. لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. For the poor who have been encircled in the path of Allah, لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. They're not able to go about do business in the land. يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. The ignorant one, the jahil, thinks that they have no need and they don't need any more. They're not withheld or deprived at all. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. You will recognize them by certain elements or marks. You won't recognize them face value. There'll be certain signs that you'll use to recognize them. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا. They don't wrap themselves around people begging. They're not the kind of people who come out and beg and keep asking and asking and asking. And so about those people, when this ayah comes, لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا, he says, وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ. Whatever you might spend of any good, Allah knows about it. Now, the thing here to understand in this ayah is ta'affuf and sima. Those are the hard words to understand. So I'm going to read something to you. أي أنهم من الانقباض وترك المسألة والتوكل على الله بحيث يظنهم الجاهل بهم الأغنياء. Because they don't ask people, because they don't beg, because they look dignified, they don't look like they're beggars, they don't stand in the street with their hand out like this, people around them, and they have tawakkul in Allah, they trust in Allah, people around them think they're having no trouble whatsoever. وفيه دليل على أن اسم الفقر يجوز أن يطلق على من له كسوة ذات قيمة ولا يمنع ذلك من إعطاء الزكاة إليه. So beautiful. I was so amazed to read this. He says, this ayah is evidence that there are people who have nice clothes, nice car, nice house, but they still need. What does that mean? They have everything, why do they need? There's somebody whose business was going real well, and all of a sudden they're in a lawsuit. And they've lost everything. The only thing left is their Mercedes. They pull up in their Mercedes in the masjid, you're like, this guy's doing pretty good, he's got a Mercedes. You don't know he's living out of his Mercedes in the back. The only thing he's got left is his car. Otherwise he doesn't even have a roof over his head. What's he gonna do? He's in a desperate state. You see him wearing an expensive watch from the days he was doing well, and you're like, this guy's hooked up. You don't know that. Maybe it's the only possession he has, and he doesn't even have a home to keep it safe in. The ayah is evidence that there are people, just because they don't come and beg you, doesn't mean they're doing well. But then he adds, and ta'affuf, you know, the ayah says they don't need, أغنياء من التعفف, they don't need any ta'affuf. Because of ta'affuf, they don't have any need. So what is ta'affuf itself, this Arabic word? They say it's from afa shay, meaning to stop something, or they have no reason to preventing them from asking. In other words, they have no need to ask. That's why they're not asking. Because if they had a need, they would have asked. You know, afa in Arabic, to stop, to prevent. So there's nothing preventing them from asking, which means if they had to ask, they would have, and therefore they're doing just fine. We don't need to worry about them. Rasulullah ﷺ says, narrated Abu Hurairah, this is in Nisa'i and in Muslim, لَيْسَ الْمِسْكِينُ الَّذِي تَرَدُّهُ التَّمْرَ وَالتَّمْرَةً وَاللُّقْمَ وَاللُّقْمَتَانِ. A miskeen, a poor person, is not someone you give a date to, or a bite of food to, or 2 bites to, or 2 dates to. That's not a miskeen. Let me tell you what a miskeen is. إِنَّمَا الْمِسْكِينَ الْمُتَعَفِّفْ اِقْرَأُوا إِنْ شِئْتُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا. A true miskeen is someone who doesn't even ask. Look at the, read the ayah yourself if you want, Quran said, the Prophet says. They don't beg people, they don't wrap themselves around people. There are people in our community, there are people praying next to us that have real financial difficulty. How are you supposed to know? Quran will tell us. It says, تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. You will recognize them by their signs. Now let me tell you what these signs are. First of all, the word Allah chose for signs is sima, which comes from wasam in Arabic, which means a mark of beauty. Like a beauty mark on the body is called a wasam also. A handsome man is called a wasim, from the same. Sima is a mark of beauty. He says, As-sima maqsura al-alama. As-sima here means a sign. اختلف العلماء في تعيينها. Scholars disagree. What could these signs be? فقال مجاهد هي الخشوع والتواضع. Some said that the look of humility and the beat down look on their face, the bags under their eyes, you know, you could tell from the look on their face something is wrong. You know what this tells you? We're supposed to be looking at people. We're supposed to be looking at faces. We're supposed to be able to tell if something is wrong. We have to have that sensitivity. As-Suddi, the next scholar says, أثر الفاقة والحاجة في وجوههم. The effect of bankruptcy, of complete deprivation, the effect of stress and need, and needs being not met on their faces. وَقِلَّةُ النِّعْمَ. And you could tell that they haven't had any rest. They're restless, they're disturbed, you can tell from their faces. Ibn Zayd, رَثَاثَةُ ثِيَابِهِمْ. Wearing very expensive clothes, but clearly they're ripping up, they're tearing up. Clothes are in bad shape. You can tell. وَقَالَ قَوْمٌ وَحَكَاهُ مَكِيٌّ أَثَرُ السُّجُودِ. Others, because of the ayah, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. In Surah Al-Fatih, you'll see the beautiful marks on their faces because of the impact of sajda. They say the effect of sajda, because the people of Suffa, all day they were praying. Right? So they have marks of sajda on their faces. And there's a certain kind of nur on people who pray all the time also, so you can tell from that too. So this is the idea that you and I have to become almost investigative about people who are in need but are too shy to ask. And it's their greatness that they don't ask. That's actually their greatness. And the Prophet ﷺ is going specifically after them, that they don't ask. لا يسألون الناس إلحافا أي ألحفا وأحفا وألحا في المسألة. They don't ask people إلحافاً. إلحافاً comes from the word لحاف. I think Urdu speakers know لحاف لے لو. ٹھنڈ ہو گئی ہے. Right? Same thing in Arabic. لحاف is it's a blanket that wraps you up. And the idea of لحاف here is they don't wrap themselves up around people like a blanket not letting go. If you know professional beggars, they don't let go. Right? They just show up and they're like, please, 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 give, give, give. And they're like tugging at the clothes and, you know, you're trying to get on the bus in, you know, Bombay or in Lahore or somewhere, and you barely get on because they won't stop asking, you know? That's ilhafan. Allah says they're not desperate like that. They won't humiliate themselves that way. That means you shouldn't give them. And then he says, مَصْطَرْ فِي مَوْضِعِ الْحَالِ. He describes, لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ ilhafan. They don't beg people, almost turning into a blanket themselves. In other words, they do ask people, but in dignified ways. Sometimes they do ask, but it's not so direct. Like somebody will come and say, are you doing okay? Yeah, alhamdulillah, inshallah, things will be okay. The fact that they said, inshallah, things will be okay, is their dignified way of telling you things are not okay. I hope you ask a follow-up question, and you don't say, oh, inshallah, and walk away. That would make you what the Quran calls a jahil. يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. The jahil thinks, the ignorant one thinks, they have no need. You know? Or even the way somebody says, Alhamdulillah. You doing okay? Yeah, yeah, Alhamdulillah. Okay, well, Alhamdulillah for you then. No, 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 wait. You can tell me. It's okay, let's talk. Let's talk a little bit. Something's going on, you can tell me. Okay, I won't tell anybody else. No, no, it's okay. No, bro, you need to tell me. Let's go out and have dinner. And then you can tell from the way he's eating, he hasn't eaten for a while. You see, you have to develop that sensitivity. You have to develop that care, that ukhuwa. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. They give preference to others over themselves, even though they're starving on their own. That's the quality of a believer. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَىٰ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You know how I would, in English phraseology, describe أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَىٰ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ in the Qur'an, the attitude believers have to each other? One believer is like a rug to another believer. You walk all over me, it's fine. so humble before the other believer. That's the attitude of a believer. وَسُمِّيَ بِذَلِكَ لِاشْتِمَالِهِ عَلَى وُجُوهِ الطَّلَبِ فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ كَاشْتِمَالِ اللِّحَافِ مِنَ التَّغْطِيَةِ أي هذا السائل يَعُمُّ النَّاسِ بِسُؤَالِهِ فَيُلْحِفُهُمْ ذَلِكَ. Because the professional beggar keeps on asking. Everybody knows he's always asking. They're not that kind of person. It's actually, indirectly, Allah is condemning professional begging. Allah is condemning, you know, just continuous, prolific begging all the time. And people that do that. رَوَى الْأَئِمَّةِ وَاللَّفْظِ. Now this is, now we're going to get to some principles of asking. The Prophet ﷺ says, لَا تُلْحِفُوا فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ. Don't insist and keep on asking. Don't beg in desperate ways. Don't do that. Don't degrade yourself like that. فَوَاللَّهِ لَا يَسْأَلُنِي أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ شَيْئًا فَتُخْرِجُ لَهُ مَسْأَلَتَهُ فَتُخْرَجُ لَهُ مَسْأَلَتُهُ مِنِّي شَيْئًا وَأَنَا لَهُ كَارِهٌ فَيُبَارَكُ لَهُ فِي مَا أَعْطَيْتُهُ. My scary hadith. This is in Mutawwa Imam Malik. He says, don't come and ask me in a desperate begging kind of way. No, just give me. And I won't leave until you give me something. And the Prophet ﷺ will give you something. Because you begged so much. Even though he was in a desperate state himself, or others deserve also, he'll still give you. He says, you might be able to pressurize me and get something out of me, but it will have no blessing in it. When you beg and beg and beg and receive, then you might receive, but barakah won't be in it. And the power of barakah, the Prophet ﷺ would have food for one person, 10, 20 would come eat, and it wouldn't run out. That's barakah. You want barakah in your rizq. And this is a way of removing barakah from your rizq, that blessing from your rizq. عن زيد بن أسلم عن عطاء بن يسار عن رجل من نبي من بني أسد أنه قال نزلت أنا وأهلي ببقيع الغرقد فقال لي أهلي. This man says, I came to البقيع, you know, the graveyard. They arrived there. My family says to me, اذهب إلى رسول الله فاسأله لنا شيئا نأكله. Go to the Prophet, ask him for something we can eat. وَجَعَلُوا يَذْكُرُونَ مِنْ حَاجَتِهِمْ. And they told him all the problems they were having. His family says to him, we've reached Medina, go to the Prophet, ask him for food. We're starving here. فَذَهَبْتُ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَوَجَدْتُ عِنْدَهُ رَجُلًا يَسْأَلُهُ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَقُولُ. I went to the Prophet to ask him for something, there was already in front of me somebody else asking him, begging him. And so, the Prophet ﷺ was dealing with that guy who kept on asking him, and the Prophet says to him, لا أجد ما أعطيك. I don't have anything to give you. I have nothing to give you. I don't have right now. فتولى الرجل عنه وهو مغضب. And the guy turns away from him, angry, and says, لعمري إنك لتعطي من شئت. I swear by my life, you know what? You don't like me, that's why you're not giving me. You give to people you like, you don't give me. I mentioned to you a couple of lectures ago, there are people who when they ask, they can ask in a very difficult way. They can make things difficult for the one who gives. This guy didn't even spare the Prophet ﷺ. You're biased. You have, you know, double standard. You don't like me, that's why you're not giving me. You like somebody else, you'd give him. The Rasul ﷺ says, أَنَّهُ يَغْضَبُ عَلَيَّ أَلَّا أَجِدُ مَا فِي أُعْطِيهِ مَنْ سَأَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَهُ أُوْقِيَّةَ أَوْ عَدْلُهَا فَقَدْ سَأَلَ الْحَافِظَ. The Prophet ﷺ says, he's getting mad at me because I didn't have something to give him. Let me tell you something. If any of you possesses the amount of an uqiyah, that's an Arabic term I'll explain, or something the equivalent of an uqiyah. Uqiyah used to be 40 dirham. 40 dirham basically means a week's pay, or a couple of days to survive. That much money. If you had that much in your pocket, and then you still asked, then you are being a beggar who wraps around, that the Quran condemns. Don't do that. Even if you have enough to survive a day or two, don't beg. Don't ask. Hold on to your dignity as long as possible. أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَسَلَ إِلَى عُمَرَ بِنَ الْخَطَّابِ بِعَطَاءٍ فَرَدَّهُ. The Prophet knew Umar is starving. He sent him some gift, some food to eat. Umar rejected it. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لِمَ رَدَّتَهُ. The messenger said to him, why did you return it? Why didn't you take it? فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلَيْسَ أَخْبَرْتَنَا أَنَّ أَحَدَنَا خَيْرٌ لَهُ أَلَّا يَأْخُذَ شَيْئًا. Messenger of Allah, aren't you the one who taught us it's better for us that we don't take like that? Like we don't take charity. Isn't it better? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا ذَاكَ عَنِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. Listen to this. The Prophet said, no, you're wrong, you misunderstood. That was in the case of begging. If somebody gives you without you asking, you take it. If you had to ask, that's when I said, don't be one who asks. But if you are being given, then don't turn it away. إِنَّمَا ذَاكَ عَنِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ فَأَمَّا مَا كَانَ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَسْأَلَةِ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ رِزْقٌ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهِ He says, and if you received without asking, it's a rizq that Allah gave you. That's provision that Allah gave you. SubhanAllah. This is why Musa alayhi salam helped those two women, didn't ask for pay. He did it as a voluntary good deed. But when they came back and said, my dad would like to pay you, he didn't say, no, that was fi sabilillah, astaghfirullah, I'm not gonna. He said, let's go get paid. He went. No problem. When people give you without you having to ask, don't turn it away if you need. Don't turn that away. And so Umar radiallahu anhu says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَا أَسْأَلُ أَحَدًا شَيْئًا He says, I swear to God, I don't ask people ever anything. I don't beg for anything. وَلَا يَأْتِينِ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ غَيْرِ مَسْأَلَةٍ إِلَّا أَخَذْتُ But if anything ever comes to me without asking, I take it. I don't turn gift away. I don't turn help away if it came without me asking. That's the difference. هَذَا نَصْرٌ وَخَرَجَ مُسْلِمٌ This is a narration in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet will give Umar again. And he says, أَعْطِهْ أَفْقَرِ إِلَيْهِ مِنِّي The Prophet would give Umar. Umar would say, no, give him, he is more poor than I am. Give to him. And you know, sometimes you're about to be helped and you're like, there are people starving, there are people dying, there are people homeless, there are people war-torn, there are refugees, they deserve more than I, don't give me. Isn't that the same attitude as Umar? Umar is about to be given, he says, this guy is poorer than I, just give it to him. Then, حَتَّى أَعْطَانِي مَرَّ The Prophet gave him again, مَالًا فَقُلْتْ أَعْطِهِ أَفْقَرِ لَهِ مِنِّي Then the Prophet gave him again, and he said, no, give to this one, he needs it more than I do. He's poorer than I am. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ خُذْهُ The Prophet says, take it. He says, take it. وَمَا جَاءَكَ مِنْ هَذَا الْمَالِ وَأَنْتَ غَيْرُ مُشْرِفٍ وَلَا سَائِلٍ فَخُذْهُ وَمَالًا فَلَا تُطْبِعُهُ نَفْسَكَ And if money comes to you, and you're not responsible, in other words, you didn't take it from a responsibility that you owe to somebody else, and it didn't come to you because you begged, then you don't turn it away. Don't say somebody else deserves. You deserve too. إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ Your own body has rights over you. You have right over yourself. Don't deny yourself, don't deprive yourself. Don't become more righteous than Allah wants you to be. No, I'm gonna starve because somebody might be, you know, I'm not gonna eat any chocolate ever again because some child somewhere has never had chocolate. Hold on a second. Hold on. Chill out a little bit. There is zakat, there is sadaqah, but Allah did not put the burden of humanity on you. He did not. And you can pretend that you carry that burden, and you can fake it to yourself and act like you're, you know, Mother Teresa's grandmother, that's fine. But that's not gonna last. Our deen is not extreme. Our deen is a natural deen. We have needs, we have the desire to help others, we have desire to help ourselves. It's a balanced deen. You know? And don't create that kind of imbalance in yourself, nor in your family. إِذَا أُعْطِيتَ The Prophet ﷺ says, Umar says, the Prophet said to me, إِذَا أُعْطِيتَ شَيْئًا مِنْ غَيْرِ أَن تَسْأَلْ فَكُلْ وَتَصَدَّقْ He said, if you were ever given something that you didn't ask for, eat it. And give charity too. Eat first, and then if you have extra, then give it away, that's fine. You know? This is the لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا The last hadith on this subject that I want to share with you. And a couple of things actually. مَنْ سَأَلَ النَّاسَ مُعَلَهُمْ تَكَثُّرًا Whoever asks people money, even though they already have. They already have, and they want more. So they act like it's a need, even though it's a want. Yeah? Those people. فَإِنَّمَا يَسْأَلُ جَمْرًا He's only asking for a burning piece of coal. In other words, that's what it's going to turn into on Judgment Day. Allah will make you eat that. And then the Prophet says, فَلْيَسْتَقِلَّ أَوْ لِيَسْتَكْثِرْ Then go ahead. Ask for a little and ask for a lot. It doesn't matter. It's like, if you're not going to have shame, do whatever you want. Oh no, I'm not asking for thousands, I just want 100. Yeah, but you don't need. And now that you asked, if it's 100 or 1,000, it doesn't matter, you're asking for burning coal. This is Jamran. Okay? So be careful of that. A final hadith on this, like not asking people if you don't have a need. He says, مَنْ سَأَلَ وَلَهُ مَا يُغْنِيهِ Whoever asks, even though they had enough, that they were okay, and they still asked anyway, جاءت مسألته يوم القيامة خدوشا أو قدوحا في وجهه. Whatever they ask for will turn into something that will mutilate their face on judgment day. On the day of resurrection, their face will be disformed because of what they asked, even though they didn't need. This is لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. They asked, يا رسول الله ما غناه. How do we know he had enough? What should we consider enough? And we shouldn't ask. He said, خمسون درهما أو حسابها من الذهب. 50 درهم. And this is not the Prophet saying, take 50 dirham or equivalent of gold and then do a calculation and then do a modern currency exchange and then check your balance and say, okay, I have $478. If I had 479, it's too much. That's not the point. The point is you had enough for a few days. That's the point. Even if you're just hand to mouth, so long as you're able to survive, don't become somebody who asks. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Whatever you may give of any good, certainly Allah knows about it. There's an important discussion I want to have with you. It'll take about 5-7 minutes about this ayah that I just shared with you. أُحْصِرُوا الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who were enveloped, encircled in the path of Allah. We didn't discuss what that implies. There are people who were so loyal to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they gave up everything. And some of them became teachers. Some of them started teaching and learning and teaching Ashab al-Suffa, right? Some of them went and fought in the path of Allah and gave everything up. Others started doing business to even give sadaqah to the Messenger and the cause of Islam, etc. What does it mean today? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. Somebody says, I want to study Islam. I want to be a scholar. The masjid should sponsor me. Somebody should pay for my tuition. For me to go to Egypt, or me to go to Jordan, or me to go to Saudiya, or me to go to Nadwatul Ulama in India, or me to go to Azhar, or, and they should pay for my tuition because I'm الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. I got the ayah for it. You see, I'm not able to do work because I'm studying Islam. None of the Sahaba ever asked, number one. Didn't we already establish this? So the idea that somebody comes along and says, I want to serve Islam and therefore, help me out here. Second of all, they did not put themselves in bankruptcy. They were, the situation overpowered them. The na'ib al-fa'il version is used. The passive form is used to suggest they did not deliberately become bankrupt. They were people of business. They had people of, they were people of income. Jazakallahu khairan. I have a whole bottle, water bottle store down here. But it's really appreciated. So they were people that had a living, but the situation made them bankrupt. They did not put themselves in a bankrupt situation and say, well, this is what deen wants. That is not the case. That is absolutely not the case. You don't put yourself in a situation of faqr. So how should Islamic scholarship be moved further? I'll tell you something. Sometimes people come to me, I run an institution, I have a foundation also, and somebody comes to me, hey, I'd like to go study Arabic, da 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 da, please pay for my tuition and my airfare, and I'd love to, you know, get my apartment paid for also. And I was like, no. Not going to do it. Why not? Well, here's the thing. When I was trying to learn, I didn't have much money. I had dreams of going to Egypt or Jordan or, you know, Syria. May Allah bring peace back to Syria. You know, I had those dreams too. And I didn't have the money. But never once did it occur to me that I should go ask somebody for money to do what I'm doing. Never once. That somebody else should pay for my food. And I didn't have much money. I remember my savings at the end of a month used to be $7. Exactly. And I used those, six of those $7 one time to buy an Arabic book. Because it was on sale at the Islamic bookstore at the masjid. And a brother, who I don't know, was a doctor, he told me later, saw me buy the book, and I used to go to the bookstore to just open up the tafasir and sit there and read. Because I couldn't afford them. And so this doctor fellow, one day I came to read the books, and the store owner, who I knew, because I annoyed him all the time, said, you can take these books home. I was like, why can't I take them home? He goes, you know that brother? He paid for those books. He said, all of them are for you. I didn't ask him. I still have those books at home. You know, I didn't ask him. And wallahi al-azim, I would never have asked. I would have never have asked. And that's not because I'm better or something. But there's a basic, you know, عِزُّ الرَّجُلِ اسْتِغْنَاؤُهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. The dignity of a person is to feel not they don't need the help of other people. We don't ask without reason. And if you're doing the most dignified work, there's no greater work than the work of deen. There's no greater work than the work of deen. You want to ask for a cause? Ask. Don't ask for yourself. Don't ask for yourself. If you have come in this path, then there is no greater rizq that you have earned. If Allah has opened the doors of the rizq of dunya and akhirah, you don't think Allah will open up some food for you or some home for you? You know? So to me, that attitude, that somehow entitlement, because I'm studying Islam, or because I want to serve Islam, somebody else should sponsor me, is antithetical to this ayah. It's against the spirit of this ayah. لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. If you are an activist, you've been serving, you've been helping the cause of deen, you've been hurting your own career, people around you, تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ, people will notice, you are doing so much, we need to do something for you. And you won't even have to ask. You won't even have to ask. People will do for you. That's the attitude that needs to be developed. Then furthermore, what needs to be developed are institutions of scholarship and sponsorship of scholarships. Young people that want to go and study Sharia, they want to study Hadith, they want to study Tafsir, they want to become scholars of Islam, further the deen, study da'wah, understand da'wah, and make da'wah, things like that. Go to the ulama and learn at their feet. We need to have institutions where students apply, and we look at their aptitude, and we check to see, are they great academically? Do they have good work ethic? Are they good in character? Are they working hard? Are they supporting their family? Are they good to their parents? Etc., etc., etc. You know what? We're going to sponsor your education. You qualify. You're already working full time. We're going to make you quit your job and make you go there. Not, I don't have a job, but I have a PlayStation, and I want to study Arabic in Egypt for 6 months. No thanks, because you're going to go there with your PlayStation. You know? Or you're going to go there and you're only going to learn to order shawarmas and come back. You know? There are plenty of people who are sponsored education. People pay for their tuitions and they go. And they makki maar ke aa jaate. You know? They do nothing and they go there and then come back. Yeah, I went to Egypt to study. Yeah, what did you study? Let's have a test. First, prove yourself. Prove your worth. Do some work. It's fi sabilillah. It's in the path of Allah. Knowledge is not just some, you know, a casual endeavor. Knowledge is supposed to be something that is there to serve deen. Young people and old who have proven themselves in the service of deen, they're the people that people, we, you know, our community should come and sponsor them and support them and push them in a better direction anyway. That's the mechanism that needs to be created. Not لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. وما تنفقوا من خير. And by the way, in this beautiful ayah, the support of those people who work in the cause of Allah, right? It's that's the ultimate khair. And then finally, وما تنفقوا من خير فإن الله به عليم. Whatever good that you spend out of anything, Allah is the one who knows about it. الذين ينفقون أموالهم بالليل والنهار سرا وعلانية. Those who spend their money night and day, secretly and openly. Notice, night is secret. Day is open. So night and day, suggesting, secretly and openly, he opens that subject up and describes it himself. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Those are the people that are going to have, compensation with their master. The Prophet ﷺ would say about this ayah, when he says, وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, that they have no fear on them. They're not going to be the ones grieving. Those who support the cause of Allah, those who support the cause of eliminating fitna, from the land. We talked about fitna before. If you remember that lesson. In light of that, what does the Prophet say? هُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْخَيْلِ أَلْمُنْفِقُ عَلَى الْخَيْلِ كَبَاسِطِ يَدِهِ بِالصَّدَقَةِ لَا يَقْبِضُهَا وَأَبْوَالُهَا وَأَرْوَاثُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَذَكِيِّ الْمِسْكِ. My goodness. Those who support the financing of the horses that will go into Badr and Uhud and Ahzab. Those who supported the cause of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you know, Allah takuna fitna, so there may be no more fitna. Those people, their sadaqah is like someone, even if they gave it one time, the Prophet says it's like someone who opened their hand to give charity and that hand never closed. It's continually giving. Even though they gave one time, the Prophet says these people are considered those that are continually giving. And then on top of that, even when the animal that they supported is urinating or defecating, the feces of that animal is to Allah perfume in Jannah. That is what the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why, it's what obsession with horses here. Horses were the most expensive item to buy and the most necessary to fight against the Quraysh. What does that translate into in our times? What it translates into in our times is when we recognize there's a fitna against our deen. And then we support causes that fight against that fitna, that restore confidence in iman, that bring people back to their faith. Then, and there are those people who have dedicated themselves, just given themselves. And I can tell you with full confidence, it's not me. I'm not asking you for anything. I don't want anything. I can identify people to you though. There are young people who are talented, dedicated, they have MBAs, they left good careers, and now they want to study Islam, and they're studying well, and they're articulate, and they can be great da'is, but their parents are not, they can't afford it. They have to support their parents. Those people should never have to worry about supporting their parents. We should be supporting their parents. They should be going and doing their PhDs in da'wah. They should be getting their ijazat in hadith and deen. That's what we should be doing. Investing in people. Investing in the right people. That's the cause of this ummah right now. Because without people, the deen is not carried forward. My dars for today has come to an end. But I wanted to share a quick story with you. I don't think it'll take long. It's in Urdu. And I'll translate it too for those of you who don't know. How many people don't know Urdu? Okay, enough of you. I'll translate also. But it has to do with لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. They don't beg people. Remember the part of the ayah? Dignified people don't beg. This is actually a friend of mine, Hassan, who studied in Egypt and in different, he's studying in Malaysia now. But when he was studying in Egypt, this happened with him and he went back to Pakistan after that. So he wrote this to me. عربوں کی اس یونیورسٹی میں مجھے چند ماہ ہوئے تھے کہ ایک غیر اختیاری مضمون لے لیا. I was studying at this Arab university and I took upon myself to study a unique topic, a difficult topic. سوچا چلو چھٹیوں میں بھی کچھ پڑھ لوں گا. I figured I'll just study during vacation also. کلاس لگی تو پہلے دن میں اکیلا تھا. دروازے سے ایک 55-60 سال بزرگ داخل ہوئے. ہاتھ میں علی طنطاوی کی کتاب تھی. I realized I'm the only one in the summer class. And a 60-year-old man walked in. And he had Sheikh Tantawi's, Ali Tantawi's book in his hand. He was the teacher. Right? So I was like, I'm the only student, he's the only teacher. Okay. Kaha tum akele hi ho? Arz kiya ji haan. He said, you're the only one? I said, yeah. Kitab kholi aur koi 3 ghante musalsal padhate rahe. He opened the book, he kept teaching me for 3 hours. Jab thak gaye to kaha, baki kal padhenge. When he got tired 3 hours later, he said, we'll study the rest tomorrow. Pucha, ustad, aap naye hain yahan? Pehle nahi dekha. I asked, Professor, are you new here? I've never seen you before. Kaha han chand din hue aaya. He said, I've just been here for a few days. Kaha reh rahe hain? Where are you living? My friend asked him, where are you staying? Bole paas hi mein. Maine kaha sham ko bhi padhna chahta hu. Kaha aa jana. He said, I live nearby. He said, I'd like to study in the evening, further study in the evening. He said, okay, come over. Sham dhali ke inki raah chal diya. When the evening came, I went to him. ایک دکان کے اوپر کرائے کے چھوٹے سے کمرے میں مقیم تھے. He was living in a room rental above a store. You know those little tiny rooms above stores. کتاب پڑھائی تو ان کے علم کے اور کمرے کی حالت کو دیکھ کر میں نے کہا آپ یہاں کیسے رہ رہے ہیں. When he started teaching me the book, I'm like, this man is so knowledgeable and he's living in this horrible housing. How can that be? How do you live like this? یہ آپ کے رہنے کی جگہ نہیں. This is not appropriate for you to live in. میرے اپارٹمنٹ میں ایک کمرہ خالی ہے. وہاں آ جائیں. I have a free room in my apartment, why don't you move in with me? I told him. He refused. Unhone inkar kiya. Yu saman uthaya aur apne ghar le aaye. But then eventually, I grabbed his stuff anyway and brought it into my home. So I forced him to move in with me. Laate hue mujhe mehsoos hua ho raha tha ki ye mere is kushada apartment mein kamra paakar kitne khush ho rahe honge. I was thinking when he comes into my apartment, he's going to be really happy because it's a nice open apartment and he's living in this tiny room. میں نے اوپر لایا ان کا کمرہ دکھایا اور بڑے اعتماد سے کہا کتنا شاندار اور وسیع اپارٹمنٹ ہے اور یہ رہا آپ کا کمرہ یہاں رہیں گے. I was really happy to show him my open apartment. I took him up to his room and said, this is your room, enjoy. And I was like really feeling confident that he's going to think, yeah, this is a pretty good upgrade. انہوں نے میری طرف دیکھا اور کہا, ہاں بڑا تو ہے لیکن میرے گھوڑوں کا استبل اس سے بڑا تھا. He said, it's pretty big, but the stable for my horses was much bigger than this, a whole apartment. And I'm like, what? سامان رکھ کر بیٹھ گئے. He sat down. مجھے ذرا حیرت ہوئی. I got weirded out. میں نے عرض کیا, میں سمجھا نہیں. I said to him, I didn't get it. What do you mean? کچھ بتائیں اپنے بارے میں. Could you tell me a little about yourself? بولے شام سے تعلق ہے. He said, I'm from Syria. This is last year, by the way. پوری زندگی وہاں گزری. I spent my entire life there. جدی پشتی زمیندار تھے. My ancestry is all people that are landowners. And they have this massive, massive aristocratic family, right? The acres and acres of land. Acres mein zameen thi, wahan baghat the, phal lage the, I had acres of land, fruits, gardens. Mujhe adab se dilchaspi thi. I was interested in literature because money wasn't a problem because he's, you know, millionaire by inheritance. Darsh aur tadrees se wabasta ho gaya. I started learning and teaching. Karobar ki aamdan thi. Puri zindagi padha padhaya. Business was good, so I just spent my time studying and teaching. Ek alishan sa ghar tha. I had a lofty home. Library thi. The home had a library inside. Ghoron ka shauk tha. I was interested in horses. Darjano ghode the. I had dozens of horses. Talab tha. I had a personal lake. Mulazim the. I had servants. Achanak halat kharab hona shuru hue to kabhi kabhi subah padhne chala jata tha. When things started getting bad, I only used to go a little while to teach. Ek din ek dost ka phone aaya, ghar wapas mat aana. One day a friend called me and told me, don't come back home. Unhone tumhare baghat jala diye. They've burnt down your gardens. Ghar ka saman bhi loot liya. They've robbed your home. Aur library ko bhi aag laga diya. They've burnt down the library too. Meri library jisme hazaron kitabe thi. My library had thousands of books, all gone. Dost ne bataya, bachon aur biwi ko humne nikal liya tha. My friend told me we helped your wife and child escape. Your kids and your wife escape. Unhe muntakil kar diya hai, wahin aa jao foran. We moved them to another place, just come meet us there. Kaha mere kadmon tale zameen nikal gayi. He said, it was like the earth beneath my feet was taken away. Bhaga ke bachon ke paas pahunchu. I ran to get to my kids. Dost ne unhe kahin chupa rakha tha. My friend had hidden them somewhere. Bacche mile to dost ne kaha, pure ilake mein shadeed jang shuru ho gayi hai, tumhe inhe lekar chale jao. My friend said, the war has erupted, civil war has erupted in Syria, you need to take your family and get out of here. Kaha jaun? Isne gaadi di aur kuch paise Turki ki sarhad ki taraf chale jao, bacche dekhkar shayad Turki jaane dein. Take this money, take my car, head to the Turkish border, maybe if they see children in the car, they'll let you through. That's what they said to him. Jab sarhad par pahunche to muhafizon ne aane diya. The guards let him through when he got to the border. Aur sarhad ke paas ek camp mein pana de di. I started living in a camp. Wo raat zindagi ki pehli raat thi jo kisi khaime mein yun guzri ho. It was the first night of my life I lived in a tent like that. Phir aadat ho gayi. Socha kya karun? Then I got used to it. I thought, what am I going to do? Is umar mein naukri talash ki to yahan mil gayi. I started looking for a job and I found a job here. Bachon ko wahan chhod kar yahan aa gaya hu. I've left my kids in the camp in Turkey and I am here now. Kuch paise jama ho gaye to wapas jaakar kiraye ka makan lekar de aaunga. If I have a little bit more money saved, I'm going to go rent a home for them so they can live inside a house. That's what I'm here teaching for. Unki baatein jaari thi, hont kaap rahe the. He was talking and his lips were quivering. Aankhon mein pani bharne laga tha. Aur lamhon mein safed daadi tar ho gayi thi. And as he was talking, his white beard was getting wet with tears. Kaha, ab chote bade kamron se farak nahi padta. He said, now it doesn't matter big room or small room. Behral, tumhara shukriya aur inayat tum le aaye. It's nice of you brought me here. Iske baad wo kai maa mere saath rahe aur badi shafqat aur mohabbat se padhaya. He stayed many months with me, taught me with a lot of love. Ek din mujhe phone aaya ki main shahar se bahar tha. Main wapas ja raha hu. Camp mein muqeem beti ka intiqal ho gaya. He got a call that my daughter who's living in the camp got sick and she died. I need to go. Inke aakhri alfaz the. Unke aakhri alfaz apne my friend who he used to teach, he told him the last words to me, my teacher said were, Ya Hasan sa araakum fil akhirah. Hasan, I'll see you in the akhirah. I'll see you in the next life. You know? Mera chand dino baad Pakistan jana hua. After a few days I went to Pakistan. Ke khandan ki ek majlis mein sharik tha. Ulama aapas mein hum kalam the. Hasan went back to Pakistan. And he's sitting in a gathering of scholars, Pakistani scholars, and imams, and you know, people are just discussing. Sham mein shiyon ki badi pitai ho rahi hai. And they're talking among themselves saying, man, the Shias are getting some real beatings in Syria. Dusre bole, in khabeeson ko ab pata chalega, kahin se awaz aayi. And then somebody else said, yeah, these filthy people, now they'll know what's up. We're going to teach them a real lesson. And then somebody said, sunniyon ko bhi nuksan ho raha hai. And somebody in the gathering said, but sunnis are getting hurt too. To koi bola, qeemat to ada karni padti hai. And somebody said, well, you have to pay some price. You know. And he said, main khamoshi se sunta raha aur laut aaya phir sochta raha, haan qeemat to ada karni padti hai lekin kisi aur ko. I kept thinking to myself, yeah, somebody has to pay the price. It's easy to talk about it when it's somebody else though. You know, he's just thinking about his teacher. I wanted to share the story with you not only because we need to be reminded of what's happening in the beautiful land of Syria, but also because there are some incredibly dignified people in the world that Allah knows, and until you were to get to know them more, they would never expose themselves. This is a living example of la yas'aluna an-nasa ilhafan. They don't come to people begging. They don't come to people asking. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the eyes with which we can see the people for who they are and to be able to recognize their seema. And may Allah keep us from being jahil, being ignorant. Ignorance is not just ignorance of knowledge, it's ignorance of the states of people and insensitivity to the states of people. May Allah soften our hearts towards them. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.